Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin, coming to you on this Monday, December 16th, 2019. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon as we inch closer and closer to Christmas. Can you believe that we are, what, less than 10 days away from Christmas now? That's insane, right? Hope you have been getting out and doing some Christmas shopping. I'm sure the malls have been packed these last few weekends and weeks leading up to my favorite holiday of the calendar year. And pretty soon we will also be turning the page on what has been 2019. So happy holidays to you and yours. Before I proceed and let you know what's coming your way on this Monday show, I want to give a big shout out to Connor Mathis behind the glass, because Connor is pitching in today in light of the absence of Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio, who are still students here at Michigan State University, as they have been engineering the show now for, what, a little over, what, 2 years now, which is crazy to think about. And Connor Mathis joined us to start the semester, but then he got a real grown-up J-O-B. And he is a sports writer now. He's still in, I guess you can say, the area still, the greater Lansing area, I guess you can say. But Connor Mathis is chipping in light of Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio being away for the Christmas holiday and New Year holiday. So, Connor, thank you to you, my friend. How have you been? How have you been, man?
I've been all right. The last week was a little bit of stressful. I got sick towards the tail end, but bounced back. So here I am.
I know what you mean, man. I got sick, what, like 2.5 weeks ago now, and it is not fun. It's that time of the year, too. It's going around. So glad to see that you're well. And also, how has the career been going, man? I know you've been a sports writer out in Owosso, Michigan, right? And, of course, around the Thanksgiving holiday, we saw two local teams win the state championship in Pomona, Westphalia. And also a big shout-out to Lansing Catholic and Jim Ahern, who also was named as the Michigan High School Football Coach of the Year. He was honored during yesterday's Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Detroit Lions football game. But you were a busy man, I know, around that time of the year.
It only gets
busier, right, with basketball season starting.
Oh, it was busy with football season coming to an end, and then having to get all the winter previews out, and then having to start up basketball season, things like that. So it's still I've got another busy week ahead of me, and then, you know, a little bit of a lull until after New Year's.
Gotcha. Well, that's good, man. You get to rest up for 2020. Man, you know, 2020. I can't believe we're about to enter a new decade. Pretty crazy stuff. All right. I want to let you guys know what Connor and I will be bantering about on today's Current Sports. Of course, we'll address, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about the Detroit Lions, but I'm going to address what happened yesterday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Lions are a really bad franchise right now, and I think at this point Detroit Lions fans out there are just hoping that the Lions lose out to end the regular season so that they can get as high of an NFL draft pick in 2020 as possible, all right? And right now they're looking at somewhere in the top five. So we'll talk about what happened on Sunday. Also, I want to take a broad look at what happened in the National Football League on what was week 15
on the Sunday slate in the National Football League. There were some interesting storylines out there. I've got some shout-outs that I want to get to across the NFL, so we'll get to that. And also, we'll talk some men's college basketball as the Michigan State men's basketball team was able to get an easy-peasy, lemon-squeezy victory over the Oakland Golden Grizzlies downtown Detroit inside of Little Caesars Arena against Greg Campy and the Golden Grizzlies. We'll talk about Michigan State topping Oakland. And actually, Tom Izzo, he is scheduled to talk around 1:30 p.m. at Michigan State practice at the Breslin Center today. So we'll bring that interview to you guys, that media availability to you guys on the Tuesday edition of the show. But if anything breaks, courtesy of good old Twitter, we'll be sure to pass that news along to you guys as well. And then, of course, we'll have weekend winners for you guys. A lot to get to. Monday, as always, one of the busiest shows of the current sports weekly slate. If you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News, where the live stream is up. And you can comment below that video, and you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Let's start here. We will start with Michigan State women's basketball. Cannot forget about Susie Merchant's team as they got a win yesterday at the Breslin Center. Freshman forward Julia Arault had her first collegiate double dub, 14 points, 11 rebounds, as number 19 Michigan State overwhelmed Morehead State 94-48. Yesterday, the Spartans used 14 players and 12 scored 10 in the first half when they took a 45-17 lead. In total, five players reached double digits, led by Arault's 14. Sophomore forward Kayla Bellis and also senior guard Nia Holly added 12 points each, and Taryn McCutcheon and Nia Clowden also had 10 apiece. So the Spartans will now head south once again to the Florida Sunshine Classic. That's before taking a break for the holidays. Michigan State will take on Syracuse on December 20th and number 22, West Virginia, on December 21st. So those two games will conclude the non-conference portion of the schedule before Big Ten play starts for the Michigan State women's basketball team. But a great win yesterday for Susie and her squad. And as I mentioned, the number 15 Michigan State men's basketball team knocked out Oakland, a 72-49 final at Little Caesars Arena on Saturday afternoon. 12 different Spartans scored, including six of them netting between 7 and 10 points each, led by Aaron Henry's 10. The Golden Grizzlies at 5-6 shot just 26.2%, 17 of 65. My goodness, that's bad. It was behind by as many as 29. MSU head coach Tom Izzo has never lost to Oakland's Greg Campy in the 18 meetings since the series began back in 1998. Greg Campy on an 18-game losing streak against Tom Izzo and Michigan State. Wow. All right. Number 14, Michigan men's basketball fell to number 8 Oregon in overtime. That was one heck of a game. 71-70 the final there. Michigan stormed all the way back from a 16-point deficit against the Ducks, taking a late second-half lead before forcing overtime. In the end, though, Oregon, led by point guard Peyton Pritchard, he proved to be too much. Pritchard, he took over late, repeatedly scoring at the basket and handed the Wolverines a crushing loss. He scored a game-high 23 points on 11 of 19 shooting. Also, the number 16th-ranked Arizona State hockey team gave up a two-goal lead in the third period on Saturday night. Still beat Michigan State, though, 4-3 that night. Number 18 Michigan State hockey scored in overtime yesterday and got a win 1-0 over ASU. So MSU hockey splits against Arizona State. Michigan State will return to action at the 55th annual Great Lakes Invitational. That will take place December 30th. To New Year's Eve. At Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, the Spartans will meet Michigan Tech in the opening game on Monday, December 30th, a 1 p.m. puck drop, and then take on either Michigan or Ferris State the following day. Also, Michigan State football fans out there, you've got a new addition to the squad as Terry Lockett, a 2023 star wide receiver from Minnehaha. No, that's not a joke. That's actually the name of the school. Minnehaha Academy. I love that. In Minneapolis. He commits to the Spartans. That's according to a report last night by Rivals.com. Lockett hasn't announced a commitment on Twitter. At 6 feet, 165 pounds, Lockett is listed as the number 92 receiver and number 557th player overall in the 2020 class by 247 Sports. Michigan State offensive coordinator Brad Salem, he made an in-home visit last week to Lockett. And with Lockett, Michigan State now has 20 players committed to its 2020 class, with the early signing period coming from Wednesday through Friday. So it is signing week here for college athletes. So we'll see what happens in the coming days with Michigan State football. But Lockett is the fourth receiver in that group, joining three stars Ian Stewart, Ricky White, and Monterey Foster. All right. And also a big congrats to 29 Spartan student athletes who took part in commencement ceremonies on the Michigan State campus over the weekend. Congratulations to the entire Michigan State student body who became alum over the weekend. Awesome, awesome stuff. 23 student athletes will receive their undergrad degrees, while 6 individuals are receiving an advanced degree. So MSU AD, Athletic Director Bill Beekman, he said in a statement, quote, "Congrats to all of our graduates. As a department, we are proud of the outstanding work our student athletes display in the classroom. Their academic achievements don't always get the publicity of their athletic efforts, but they are every bit as impressive," end quote. All right. And the Detroit Lions got thumped by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs routed the Lions 38-17. That score, though, that final score is not indicative of just how close this game was in the second half, though. But a loss is a loss nonetheless. And Detroit has now dropped its 7th straight and 10th in its last 11 games. The Lions could not have played a worse first half on either side of the football. Detroit went to the half down 21-3 after giving up 336 yards of offense and having just 56 total yards of offense themselves. Detroit outgained Tampa Bay, though, 241 yards to 159 in the second 30 minutes and got within a touchdown, 24-17 late in the fourth quarter, but a Buccaneers INT and 70-yard return for a TD, a pick six by corner Sean Murphy Bunting, who has Michigan ties. He is from the great state of Michigan. I believe he went to, and can we double check on this, Connor? I believe Sean Murphy Bunting went to Central Michigan University. Could be wrong, though, if we can double check that. And with just over 5 minutes left in the contest, that was game time.
Go!
Yep, that was the nail in the coffin. So, Encounter was actually at that game. He'll give us a first-hand account of what fans were saying And he is. Okay, he is. Kind of just timed in my ear. Sean Murphy Bunting. Hey, got a good memory. Yeah, he is from Central Michigan University. He went there. So, Connor was there. He'll give us a firsthand account of what it was like to be in the stadium and witness that collapse, I guess you can say, and what fans were saying inside of the walls of Ford Field, those who spent their good, hard-earned money on that really bad product. All right, and the Detroit Red Wings reverted to form last night, again looking like the worst team in the National Hockey League. Man, Detroit professional sports right now is just not fun to watch. I don't know. I still enjoy watching my Detroit Pistons because I think they're a decent team, but my goodness. Facing the Red Wings, facing the team with the fewest points in the Western Conference, the Wings were thumped by the LA Kings 4-2 at LCA. Yep, I know. And the Wings had won their previous two games, a 5-2 home triumph over Winnipeg on Thursday. That snapped a 12-game winless streak and a 2-1 victory at Montreal on Saturday. So they still lose to the Kings, though, and the Wings are just not good at all. So there you have that. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. As I mentioned, call in. Would love to hear from you beautiful people. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few of you already commenting there. And again, tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Hey, folks, again, happy Monday to you guys. Let's dive right into it. We're going to start and get this out the way. The Detroit Lions are a bad NFL team right now. I do not know how in the world you can justify bringing back Matt Patricia. However, I think that they are going to bring back Matt Patricia. I mean, I know it looks as though Martha Ford is keeping her cards close to the vest. We don't know what she's thinking. She has not come out and made a statement about where this franchise is at this current point, how bad they've been this season. She has not come out and made any statement alluding to what she plans on doing with the future of this franchise. But, you know, that's Bob Quinn's guy. Matt Patricia is Bob Quinn's guy, and they are really tight. They go way back, like four flats on a Cadillac, back when they were in New England with the Patriots. And that is why I feel as though Matt Patricia is somehow, some way going to survive this season. Now, in an ideal world, logistically speaking here, I would like to see another coach brought in other than Matt Patricia. He was not the guy. I was fooled. I mean, I tell you what, with Matt Patricia, when he first got the gig as the head man in charge of the Lions, you know, all of the hype surrounded around him, coming from a Super Bowl winning franchise. And by the way, I keep hammering this point home every time I talk about Bill Belichick and his coaching tree. But Bill Belichick's coaching tree, I don't know if you guys have heard, but it's not great. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I mean, you would think if you coach under a brilliant mind like Bill Belichick, who has had immense success in the National Football League, that you would benefit from that and can leave the nest that is New England and go and man your own NFL franchise and find some type of success. I don't know why coaches that, you know, have coached under Bill Belichick don't have success, but they have not. But when, you know, Matt Patricia came here, he was, you know, he was labeled as a defensive, and yes, many people were throwing this word around, quote unquote, genius A defensive genius is what Matt Patricia was labeled as when he got the gig with the Honolulu Blue. You know, and then you talk about, you know, that I don't know, that kind of that degree that he has with a big name. He went to that really smart school. I get all that. But there's a difference between being a really smart dude and knowing your schemes and then coaching an NFL franchise where you have to inspire your players on a week-to-week basis. You have to surround yourself with a coherent coaching staff and go out there and win football games. Now, I get it. Matt Patricia and a lot of people have been playing this card. And there are only a few who have been defending Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. I think the real diehard fans that have, are wearing Honolulu blue glasses at this point. The only, you know, mulligan I would give Matt Patricia on, the only point of a mulligan that I would give Matt Patricia is that this team has a lot of injuries. All right, and you're looking at how Matthew Stafford played before he did get injured. Matthew Stafford was playing at an elite level, arguably the best football in his career. He was in the most valuable player conversation, and then it's found that he has fractures in his back yet again, and not to mention all of the other injuries that are on this team. Okay, I understand that, but at the end of the day, when looking at this franchise, I mean, I've just seen complete laziness at times. There's no way the defense should be this bad, giving up 30-plus points to Jameis Winston, who I had the conversation, you know, Jack and I were talking about, you know, what is a bust in the National Football League. And then, you know, I'm arguing my point saying that, look, man, if you had high expectations coming into the league, especially if you were a first-round quarterback and you do not eventually turn out to be a Pro Bowl quarterback, and I'll even give you, you know, 1 to 2, maybe even 3 years, you are a bust, in my opinion. And then he said, okay, I see what you're saying there, Al. And then he brought up Jameis Winston. I said, yeah, Jameis Winston is a bust. And then Jack kind of pondered and said, okay, yeah, you're right. So, I mean, yeah, but you give up that amount of points to Jameis Winston? This Lions defense is so, so bad right now. And at this point, Lions fans are looking at this season and saying, just please. Logical Lions fans are looking at this season and saying, just please, just lose the rest of the way. I mean, what they got, what, the Broncos and the Packers up next. You play the Broncos on the 22nd, and then you play the Packers at home on the 29th. Just lose out and try to get a top five draft pick and hope that you can turn this franchise around. And then we'll be having this debate in the coming months, I'm sure, coming weeks. I don't know if you guys want to have it right now, but what should the Lions do with that high draft pick? Should they draft some insurance on Matthew Stafford? Because Matthew Stafford has been now hurt. He made it through last year, but we found out after the season that he had fractures in his back, and then fractures in his back again that ruled him out most of this season. So I think you have to, at some point, do you do it with that high pick? You know, this upcoming NFL draft, do you draft a quarterback that high, or do you wait later on in the rounds? But that's a debate for another time. But right now, this franchise is horrible. Absolutely horrible. And, you know, what's funny to me is that the Lions, I mean, they don't seem to learn from their mistakes. You know, I got a chance to watch. I don't know why I did this, but, you know, I decided to watch this before my Cowboys. And by the way, thank you, Brad Walker, because he always leaves a message on our Facebook live stream right in front of our signage here of Current Sports saying, how about them Cowboys? Maybe trying to give Jason Garrett an extension. Trying to be funny, but no. We're not giving Jason Garrett an extension. He still needs to go. But that was a good win over the L.A. Rams yesterday. I was very, very happy. But before that game kicked off, I was watching a bit of the Detroit Lions game. And they don't learn from their mistakes. You know, you go down 21-3. And then in the second half, it's like you just got slapped in the face and said, all right, we got to do something different now. You think? And they finally started to allow David Blau to, you know, get out the pocket a bit and improvise, use his legs, wait, and try and throw some receivers open. And it was kind of like schoolyard football, and it worked. You know, the Lions went on that second half run, nearly brought themselves all the way back in the game. But we all know how it ended, as I mentioned in the headliners. And I got to give a lot of props. You know, one Detroit Lions player that you can give a lot of credit to, one Detroit Lions player who does not give up and goes out there and gives it 2,000% every time he's out there on the gridiron. But shout out to Danny Amendola. Danny Amendola is a baller. You know, this is a guy who comes from a winning franchise. He's a guy that's used to winning rings, not losing every single week. So this has to be a mental trip for him. But his attitude, man, has not wavered. You know, Danny Amendola goes out there. He's tough. He's emotional. I love it. He goes out there every single day with a crazy focus. And the Lions nearly came back in this game with that spark that Amendola provided. I mean, that catch that he made in the third quarter with about 8 minutes left in the game between, what, like two defenders on the Buccaneers, that gave a jolt to this team and sparked a comeback. If you remember, the score was 24-3 at that moment, and Danny Amendola somehow, some way, made that catch between those defenders on the right sideline. The Lions going to score on that drive. And I love the dude. I don't know if he comes back for another season, but there is no doubt that Danny Amendola has had a positive impact on this Detroit Lions team here in 2019. Gotta love that. And final point, did I mention that this defense is really, really bad? Did I say that already? I can't remember. The defense is horrible. My goodness. Coming into that game yesterday, the Lions defense ranked 29th in the National Football League in yards allowed. And then they give up a ton of yards. They allow 495 yards in total and allow Jameis Winston to be the first quarterback. Let me repeat this again. We're talking about Jameis Winston here. They allow Jameis Winston to be the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 450 yards or more in consecutive games. That's insane. And again, giving up 30-plus points, giving up 31 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Maybe the only bright spot for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Detroit Lions defense, was the fact that they only gave up 49 yards rushing. But again, Jameis and that offense was having, you know, so much success through the air that they really didn't need to run the football. Just a bad franchise, man. I don't know how I say this every single Monday, I feel like, but I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how Detroit Lions fans do this, how you put yourself through this torture every single week. It is sad. It is a horrible product right now. It has been for a long time. Let's not kid ourselves here. And also, Rashad Perriman, who is the son of a former Detroit Lions great, he had three touchdowns. I mean, three touchdowns. Five catches, three touchdowns, 113 yards. Yeah, he certainly torched dad's old team. Connor, you were there. You witnessed this debacle. And, you know, we were chatting right before I started this segment A here. And First off, from what I saw in the broadcast when it did pan in the stands at Ford Field, it looked like I saw a lot of empty seats. Am I accurate in saying that or no?
Lower bowl area, there was patch, like the sidelines were still pretty nicely filled out, but like in terms of behind the end zone, it was patchy. But the uppers were full.
The uppers were full.
The uppers, there was plenty of people.
Okay, that's what I saw too. Like behind the goalpost, there were some empty seats, which kind of shocked me. Like, okay, maybe there are some Detroit Lions fans out there that are saying, okay, I'm tired of this. You either start winning, making some changes, or I'm not coming. I'm not buying tickets. I'm curious what the ticket prices were for yesterday's game. Do you know what the average price was?
I mean, the uppers that I got were around 48.
Okay.
But
not a lot.
But that was like on secondary stuff, but I don't know what the lower bowl ticket prices were, but I can tell you this, that stadium, people were still sticking around. The Lions had -5 passing yards halfway through the second quarter. People were there. My friends and I, we were with, we were like, oh, well, you know, if the Lions don't score, this was when they were still down like 21-3. Or like, if they don't score, you know, we'll head out. But I tell you what, as soon as they got back, they kind of got things rolling. As soon as they got that first touchdown, stadium was loud. Fans were engaged. And then before that, the Buccaneers drive before that pick six that they got, they missed a field goal. They missed a field goal that would have put them up two scores off the upright. The Lions were driving the field real nice, and then Blau throws I called it a Madden interception. He hit the wrong button, and he floated it a little too much, and it just gone. No one near him. And then they follow it up. He comes back out and throws another pick.
Oh,
It was bad. But after that pick six, stands cleared out completely. I mean, we stuck around because we're like, oh, you know, we were going to beat the traffic, but now we might as well just sit here and wait because everybody's left. Mm-hmm. And then after the second, like the next couple turnovers, more people kept leaving. There was a good amount of Buccaneers fans, which was kind of surprising. They had their like own little enclave in the back end zone. They kind of moved down from the upper areas and they moved down to the back end zone. So on the second pick that was overturned, the Buccaneers corner ran it over and threw it to the fans.
Oh, did it?
There was a good collection of Buccaneers fans there, which was kind of surprising.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Like, why? I mean,
it's already kind of a niche fan base in Florida, I mean, it's Tampa, mostly
you got the
Dolphins.
Yeah, you got the Dolphins down there. I don't know. Maybe when John Gruden didn't win that championship in the early 2000s, I don't know. Maybe there were a lot of people that became Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans. I have no
maybe,
idea.
Maybe. I don't know. But it was a surprising amount of them.
That is very, very shocking. But, you know, I look at this team, Connor, and I ask myself, okay, they're 3-10-1. And we all know, I mean, the backup quarterback situation for the Lions is just horrid. David Blau is not a great quarterback. I mean, heck, he was a backup, if I'm not mistaken, when he was at Purdue.
He wasn't great at Purdue. He was okay. He was serviceable, okay.
But he was a backup there, man. I mean, David Blau is not by any means a world-beating quarterback. But I just wonder to myself, you know, with the level that Matthew Stafford was playing at, just how many games could have a healthy Matthew Stafford won for the Detroit Lions. In addition to, though, what you got to keep in mind is just how bad this defense has been this year. Because, I mean, heck, I mean, Connor, I don't care how good an offense is. If you can't stop anybody, it's off or not. If you're in a shootout every single week, I mean, come on. I mean, I'm looking at these final scores. I mean, you know, the Buccaneers score 38 on them. The Vikings, they held the Vikings to 20. That's not bad. The Bears,
well, the Vikings kind of let up too.
They took
their foot off of their throat in like the third.
But you know, in earlier this season, they gave up 42 against the Vikings. If you remember that, that 42 to 30 game, they gave up 31. Well, no, excuse me. Yeah. Oh no, 31 to the Raiders. And we saw what happened to the Raiders yesterday against Jacksonville. What in the world was that? They gave up 35 to my Cowboys. And that offense has been hot and cold this season. I mean, if you're giving up anywhere close to 30 points on any given Sunday, it is hard to win. I don't care who your quarterback is. But I really do believe, though, Matthew Stafford was playing at such a high level that he would have won the Lions maybe 2 to 3 more games this year.
I'm looking at these games. Matthew Stafford being on the Lions, they beat the Bears. I think they beat your Cowboys if Matthew Stafford plays, just how they did with, you know, what they had against them. They definitely beat Washington with Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. And they probably, at least they make it a one-score game against the Buccaneers. So let's see. That's four or five games.
Yeah.
Four or five games that they're winning or they're at least contending in. Like the Washington game, there's no reason they lose that game. None.
Right. So that's 7 wins, and you know, if you take into account that, let's just say, okay, if you have a healthy Matthew Stafford, they're at 7 wins for the year. Well, my goodness, I'm sorry. No, in the NFC North, I mean, you got the Packers.
No, they would have been eliminated. They would have been eliminated
because of how
the Vikings have turned it on in the last half of the season here. So they probably would be eliminated, but the narrative would have been kind of the expectation going this year is, oh, they're mediocre again.
Right, exactly.
As opposed to, oh, this is a tire fire.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's shocking, man. I mean, my goodness.
And the thing is, with Lions fans, I see Lions beat writers, I see Lions fans, oh, we're tanking now. Detroit, as a fan of a tanking franchise right now, you're a little late to the party.
Right.
You're banking on the Giants, Dolphins, and Washington winning out for you to get, because I see Detroit fans and Detroit beat writers saying, oh, they're going for the number two pick. I'm like, how on earth are they going to get anywhere near the number two pick?
All right, they'll get a top five pick.
Oh, they're already a top five.
Yeah, they're already a top five.
Let's look at the teams that they're going to, apparently these teams are going to win out and Detroit's going to lose out, which I think that, even with how bad Detroit is, I think they have a chance of beating the Broncos, because the Broncos are also inconsistent as anything. But let's see. So Detroit fans are expecting Washington to beat the Giants and the Cowboys. Not going to happen. They'll maybe it's a coin toss with the Giants, but they're not beating the Cowboys.
No.
Giants, you're expecting them to win out against Washington. Okay, that's realistic. You're expecting them to beat the Eagles. I don't think so. You're expecting the Dolphins to beat the Bengals, which I don't know if you saw how the Dolphins did against New York, but it was pitiful.
They lost to the Giants, man.
And then you're
expecting the Patriots.
And then you expect at Foxborough, you're expecting expecting Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen, because there's talk that they're going to sit Fitzpatrick just to get a better pick. Mm-hmm. And you're going to expect whoever that is to walk into Foxborough, beat Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to happen. You're not getting the number two pick. I don't see it coming to fruition.
I'm wondering what's the dialogue between Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia at this point, because you're playing for nothing right now. Does Bob tell Matt, hey, man, if in the fourth quarter, depending on the situation, if it's a close game, just don't go all out.
Okay,
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters because
at least they have a shot.
Because Patricia can't call plays. I watched the entire first half, and I was longing for Michigan State's offense. Al,
they were
bad.
That's the thing. Do you call play? Like, I wonder if Bob is saying, hey, just, you know, in fourth quarter, you don't have to go all out. Just call some plays that don't go anywhere.
Well,
let's lose that game.
I mean, the play calling's bad enough to where I don't think it makes a difference
because it's
just bad. I mean, I understand you're on your fifth string running back, you're on your third string quarterback, but NFL offense, just I was saying to my friend, I'm like, it looks like Patricia's just hitting Ask Madden for the entire first half,
right?
And trying
right.
and trying to see, oh, maybe something breaks.
I'm telling you, man. It's bad.
Bad. And I'm looking at the draft order, and again, they're saying, oh, well, Chase Young's going to fall to us. I'm like, okay, the Bengals are going to get a quarterback, probably Burrow. The Giants, what do they need? Anything. So they're a candidate for a Chase Young. The Dolphins are a candidate for a Chase Young or Tua. The Washington's a candidate for Chase Young because Washington, you know, their defense is good, but, I mean, Chase Young could make them a top unit. Mm. I mean, this false hope narrative of that the Lions are tanking now, it's all okay. The teams that are in front of them are going to take the players that they would want, I think.
But I still think a top five pick is going to be valuable no matter what.
Oh,
sure. Yeah, no matter
just,
what.
So, just the whole bit yeah. of you're going to get Tua, Chase Young, or one of these guys. Like, no, be a realist, because the Giants, out of all those teams, have the best chance of winning out. And even if the Giants win out,
right,
you still only move up a spot.
Right. So, I hear you. I totally hear you on that. You know, there's a chance they could rise again to that third overall pick. That's what I've been reading all morning. We'll just have to wait and see, man. We'll see how the season ends out here. But I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Ben comments real quick before we go to the break. It's called being loyal, Al. You support your hometown teams, win or lose, no matter how bad things get. And if you are a realistic fan, Ben, I always say this, man. I love the fan who holds that franchise accountable. If they aren't doing their jobs and are constantly making idiotic decisions, why would you waste your good, hard-earned money and your precious, valuable time that we can't get again in this thing called life supporting a product that disappoints you every single year? Wake up, man. Wake up. I get it. So support only goes so far at the end of the day. When it comes to your pocketbook and your time, you got to make different decisions, man. And you could affect maybe some change here. If this franchise starts getting hurt financially because ticket sales aren't going up, you think they're going to make some changes? You better believe it, man. Final break. More thoughts on that. I know you got some thoughts on that, Connor. First break. When we come back, we'll talk some more NFL football. We'll take a broader look at the league. And I also want to comment on Michigan State men's basketball. Tom Izzo is speaking to the media right now at the Breslin Center after they are coming off that win against the Oakland Golden Grizzlies at LCA on Saturday. More current sports coming your way in just a moment. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A little Kanye West coming your way on this Monday. And congratulations to P. Diddy, formerly known as Puff Daddy. It was his 50th birthday. Man, P. Diddy's 50 now. Time flies, man. He celebrated his 50th birthday yesterday as Kanye and Kim Kardashian and Beyonce and Jay-Z were in attendance. And also at Kanye West's Sunday service out in L.A., I saw that Steph Curry, the famed Golden State Warriors guard, he was in attendance along with famed producer Swiss Beatz. That was pretty cool. So I've been watching and following Kanye's Sunday service on YouTube, and man, it's pretty incredible. I don't care what your thoughts are on Kanye West. You can't deny it. There's a lot of talent on that Sunday service choir. So, preach on, Kanye. Preach on, brother. All right. You heard Ben's comment. You heard me read it, Connor. But before we hit that first break and, you know, loyalty, you can speak a lot to this. You are a, my gosh, I don't know how you do this either. You are a Miami Dolphins fanatic and team loyalty and that kind of thing. What are your thoughts on that? You know, team loyalty and supporting your franchise when they're down and out and, they, you know, even though they break your heart left and right. Where do you fall on that spectrum? You heard my thoughts.
You have to be a realist. I mean, if you're not, it hurts a heck of a lot more. Like, you got to be realistic about your expectations coming into a season, for one. For example, I knew this season the Dolphins were tanking. They were shipping things off in March and February and, you know, all through the offseason and right up to the and through the second week of the season. So I knew what the idea was here. So I can still support their idea, but I'm not going to be some idiot out here saying, oh, well, you know, they're still a really good team. I mean, these are the players that we're going to build. We're not.
You don't want to be delusional.
No, you don't want to be delusional.
You don't want to be a delusional fan.
Because the Lions going into this year, okay, under Patricia are average.
Right.
Just like they were under Caldwell. The difference is Caldwell got into the playoffs once.
Right, right. Exactly.
The team for years now has needed a backup quarterback because no quarterback is immortal.
These are old problems.
These are old problems
that haven't been fixed. And you keep
exactly.
You know, we Lions fans keep falling for the banana in a tailpipe. And I get it. You know, it's the NFL. The NFL is the biggest professional sporting avenue that we have. The professional sporting realm that we have here in America. The NFL rules all. So, you know, if you have a franchise that you root for that's in your state, you know, you want to be a part of the excitement of the NFL season. So, you know, you come in the year with a lot of hope. And so I get there's some false hope that comes with that because you want to be a part of the conversation in some way, shape, or form. But the realistic fan looks at things and evaluates things and says, okay, changes need to be made.
The other thing, too, is if you're realistic, you want your team to be, what, competing for playoffs and competing for championships.
Right.
If you are blindly supporting the dumpster fire that is the Lions, and you think Patricia's got it, he's got a plan, and Bob Quinn's got a plan, I'm sorry, but this, look at any of the other functional organizations in football.
Yeah.
Would the Chiefs stand for this? Would Baltimore stand for this? Would New England stand for this kind of tire fire? Would Green Bay, your own divisional rival, would they stand for this kind of tire fire?
No.
They didn't. They scrapped Mike McCarthy, who got them to a Super Bowl and won them a Super Bowl because he just wasn't cutting it anymore.
Right. That's so true, man.
There's no reason why Patricia – I don't – I after seeing last or yesterday's game, There's no reason why Patricia should be back.
I agree.
None.
I agree, man. And if bring him back, it's on Bob Quinn.
If your GM doesn't want to part ways with him, right. I'm sorry, but Bob Quinn, he's gotten some good picks. That no denying that, but how many games has he won?
Change has to come, man.
You have to make a change. If there's no change,
you got to hold your franchise. I'm totally with you.
I don't care if he's getting gems in the fifth round. Cool. What's his first, second, and third round looking like? Yep. Oh, they're average.
Yep.
Any stars? No.
Right. I'm with you. I'm totally with you, Connor. With 15 minutes left here, I would be remiss if I did not bring this up because a lot of people are talking about it today. When I read it, my jaw was on the floor. And I told myself, I even wrote it in my notes too. I don't know how I did not put this in the reading notes, but I wanted to comment on the emotional piece that Sean Windsor wrote in the Detroit Free Press, centered on Michigan State point guard Cassius Winston and the pain he's had to endure after losing his brother, Zachary, to suicide. Really tragic stuff. You know, we talked about it in length here on Current Sports. And Sean, he gives you an inside look as to what exactly happened on that day that rocked the Winston's family world, the MSU community's world, Spartan Nation, Albion College as well. Tom Izzo, he got a call actually, and if you haven't read the piece, please check it out. It's entitled Michigan State Star Cassius Winston's Grief is So Heavy, Not Even Basketball Can Ease It. Sean Windsor wrote it. It was published yesterday morning at 6 a.m., actually. And Tom Izzo got the call early, that day. And, he went back to sleep because it was really early. And Milt Barnes, who is former Eastern Michigan University basketball coach, he called Izzo very early in the morning. And then, Izzo didn't pick up. He said, I'll call him back in the morning. And then David Thomas, MSU's director of basketball operations, called and said, look, man, Barnes is trying to get a hold of you. Milt Barnes is trying to get a hold of you. Pick up. It's really important. Izzo called Barnes back, and that's when he delivered the news that, quote, Zachary is gone. He was hit by a train. Izzo goes on to say that Izzo didn't have any other details. He got off the phone and then called assistant coach Mike Garland, who was staying with at the Kellogg Center, Kellogg Hotel and Conference Center on Michigan State's campus, because this was the day before a game for Michigan State. That always happens, and where they stay at the Kellogg Center Hotel the day before a game on campus, a home game on campus, and Mike Garland immediately went down the hallway to try and find Cassius. Cassius was in the hallway. Cassius then collapses without saying any words, just collapses in the arms of Mike Garland in tears. And then Cassius go and Mike go to Cassius's room, and he says, I need to see my team. And then, the entire team comes in. They didn't really know what to say. The parents of Cassius, they then come to the hotel and meet in the lobby somewhere. And, it's just a lot of pain. And Cassius goes on to talk about and opens up about how basketball, he doesn't want to play basketball right now. That's like the last thing on his mind. He would rather be with his family, talk to his other brother. And basketball has not been his release. And I brought this up multiple times. I mean, going through something like that, I don't know what that pain is like. When you lose someone that close to you in that manner, not many people on this earth know what that is like. And then Cassius being, a public figure, being that young and trying to go through this in the public eye, wow. You better believe that something that tragic is going to have some kind of effect on a young man.
But just check it out. I don't want to comb through the entire piece detail for detail, but it gives you a window into what this young man, this amazing young man, is going through. A lot of pain, a lot of heartache, and it's awe-inspiring just watching Cassius suit up in that green and white Spartan jersey and go out there and try to perform, because that takes a lot of guts, a lot of courage. So I wanted to give Sean a lot of credit for that article and mention it here on the airwaves, because it was very compelling, very emotional, and again, it gives you a firsthand look at how these guys are just not athletes, man. They're human, just like you and me. Just like you and me. So give that a read when you can. And, if you know, I would love to hear your thoughts, those who have read it and maybe those who haven't and will read it later on today and want to comment on it. You can call up on tomorrow's show as well. But if you have and you want to call in the final, less than 10 minutes we have left in the hour, you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And also, I want to mention this as well. You know, if you or someone you know may be struggling with suicidal thoughts, you can call, please call, the U.S. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255, any time of day or night, or you can even chat online. Again, if you know anybody who is struggling with those kind of dark thoughts, please call the U.S. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 800-273-8255. Let's hit our final break, and we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have about 5 minutes left here in the hour. It is time for Weekend Winners, where we look at the weekend that was and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in sports and maybe even the worst weekend as well. Weekend losers as well. I want to, you know, my big, I've got two. One, I'll give my Cowboys some credit. We beat the LA Rams. We stay in contention in the horrid. Thank goodness we play in this division, but we play in the horrible NFC East. So we stay the pace when it comes to possibly winning the NFC East. It's going to come down to, you know, the Eagles and us. So we get that win. It was nice to have a comfortable victory for a chance. So shout out to my Dallas Cowboys. And number two, should be number one, though. I'm going to bump him up to number one. My man, Ron DeLeon, who is a local fight promoter here in the Lansing area. He had his latest MMA event on Saturday night at the Lansing Center, in which I had the amazing opportunity to be the guest ring announcer. Or cage announcer in that respect for MMA, right? You're in a cage, not a ring. And it was a great slate of 10 fantastic fights. Every fight was compelling. The first five fights didn't even make it to the second round. I mean, we're talking submissions and KOs. Amazing first five. And then the second half of the fight slate were five championship fights for, you know, the featherweight belt, the bantamweight belt. It was just so fun, man. And check this, the final fight, I've never seen a fight in this way. The final fight was between two fantastic fighters in Freddie Rodriguez and Jeff Bauman. You know, they're lightweights. They're like 120, 130, something like that. And Freddie is like, he's like a three-time, four-time, you know, high school state championship wrestler. He's from the Lansing area. And Jeff Ballman is just really tough. Freddie's so fast. This thing was scheduled for five rounds. Conor, it went five rounds. It ended because Jeff, who was losing, he needed a knockout to win the fight. So he's going all out. Next thing you know, I'm sitting ringside. And Jeff, like spits up some water. So I'm like, oh, okay, he just needed to spit up some water. Okay, you know, he, like, turns and, you know, Freddie's like, okay, should I pounce on him? He's, like, waiting. And then Jeff goes back into the action and then pushes Freddie off. I'm like, what was that about? And then turns toward the side of the cage where I'm sitting, pukes everywhere. I kid you not. That's how the fight ended. Jeff apparently got sick and begins to just let it all out right where I'm sitting. I didn't get hit with a splish splash, thank goodness. I got immediately away from the table, myself and the medical doctor who was sitting next to my left, and all of us who were sitting on that row. We push away and we say, okay. And you should, the crowd in a unified way said, Oh, it was pretty nasty. And that was it. There was like no announcement. That was, well, Ron did go in the ring and announce the winner, who was Freddie Rodriguez. but everybody just kind of, it was kind of awkward. Everybody just, the lights came on and that was it. And then, you know, they had a team come in and clean up the mess that was left from Jeff. But yeah, I've never seen that before.
Nice.
Never seen that before.
This is why I watch fights on TV.
Exactly, right? Any weekend winners for you, Connor?
Weekend winner, big one out of the NFL. The Bills, for the first time since 1999, have 10 wins. And don't look now. They could make a play for the two seed in the AFC. They play the Patriots this week. And if they can beat the Patriots, which is no, even how bad the Patriots have been,
yeah,
not an easy task. But the Bills, the Chiefs are both in play for that two seed that the Patriots are currently holding on to. And I think the biggest weekend loser are the 49ers. That was brutal, because now instead of they were going to be the one seed.
Yeah.
And now because of Atlanta and Julio Jones and Matt Ryan not giving up, they're sitting in wild card.
Isn't that crazy? The NFL. Gotta love it. And also, I want to give a shout out to the Houston Texans as well. They put a dagger in the Tennessee Titans. Hopes of winning the AFC South, and that's despite quarterback Deshaun Watson throwing two picks in that game. But the Texans still win 24-21 in that one. So there you have that, folks. Weekend winners for you guys. The Monday night football game tonight will be Colts and Saints, right? Indianapolis and New Orleans. So that will be tonight. Connor, thank you so much for pinch hitting in light of Alec Rio and Jack Cohen being out. We'll see you on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.